Hello, my name is Steph Boulay, and this is the Inside Out Institute podcast. Thanks for joining us. This is the second in a series of four mini-episodes called Research Bites. Earlier this month, Inside Out hosted a think tank for the Australian Eating Disorders Research and Translation Centre, which is a national consortium led by Inside Out. The think tank was attended by some of the leading eating disorder researchers from across the globe, and its aim was to plan a research program for the centre. At the think tank, I had the honour of talking with Professor Cynthia Bulick, who is on the International Advisory for the Centre, which is just one of her many roles.
I am Distinguished Professor of Eating Disorders at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and Professor in the Department of Medical Epidemiology and Biostatistics at Karolinska Institutet in Stockholm, Sweden.
So, first question, where do you find the time?
I create time, apparently. Or I have a monozygotic twin who one of us is in one place when the other's in the other place. No, I just, I pride myself on efficiency. Mm-hmm. And I also honor my circadian rhythms, and I do the hardest work when I'm most awake.
Could you please tell us about your research?
There's so much of it, but I think I'll focus on the fact that one of the things that we look at is not just the psychology behind eating disorders, but also the biology behind eating disorders, because we think that especially if we look carefully at the human genome and identify those genes or pathways of genes that increases someone's risk for developing an eating disorder, we'll be able to target our treatments and maybe even develop new medications or pharmacotherapeutic agents, to use the more technical term, that actually targets the underlying biology of the illness.
Great. So how do we go about doing that?
Well, we're doing it. So I lead a group called the Eating Disorders Working Group of the Psychiatric Genomics Consortium, or the PGCED, which is actually a group of over 200 researchers, clinicians around the world who are collecting genetic samples from people who have eating disorders, as well as from similar people in the same country who don't have eating disorders. So we call them controls. And it's super easy to do. All the person has to do is either a blood draw, sort of the old-fashioned way, but now you just spit into a little tube. And we can actually extract your DNA or your genetic material from your saliva. And then comes the complicated science part. So we can actually get a readout of your whole genome from that saliva sample. And then we put together thousands of genomes from people with eating disorders and compare them to thousands of genomes of people without eating disorders. And where the differences lie are the genes or the areas of the genome that influence risk for eating disorders.
So where are we on the path of actually finding the targets that we need to start?
Yep.
Acting on?
Yep. So first off, it's not going to be one gene. We're imagining that it's probably going to be hundreds and maybe even thousands of genes in combination with environmental factors, okay? So we have done one very large study of anorexia nervosa where for the first time we've identified regions of the genome that influence risk. But then we can also sort of look at what other things do those same genes influence and how does that tell us about what causes anorexia? And we, no surprise, we actually found that there are really high genetic correlations between anorexia and other psychiatric illnesses, like OCD, like anxiety, like depression. But we were more surprised when we saw really strong correlations with metabolic factors. This is like type 2 diabetes, BMI, obesity, insulin resistance. And what those results told us was that anorexia isn't only a psychiatric illness, it's also a metabolic illness. And we need to start looking now at what those metabolic factors actually are that make someone at risk for developing anorexia.
What are you most excited about in eating disorder research at the moment?
No surprise. I'm really excited about sort of like the next steps of genetic research, okay? So what we did with anorexia, we're now also doing with bulimia, with binge eating disorder, and with ARFID. And we're going to be able to say, okay, how are those eating disorders similar and how are they different? And we'll be able to start using the genetic research. So if someone walks into my office for the very first time and I give them a diagnosis of anorexia nervosa, right now I can't predict if they're gonna have sort of like a year-long case and they're gonna get better with just a little bit of therapy, or if they're gonna develop a severe and enduring course and really require a lot of intensive work. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that we're gonna be able to use those genetics to predict from the beginning what kind of course a person might have. Or, for example, might they cross over and develop bulimia? If we can tell on day one, we can start tailoring our treatment to what their genes might predict their future is. Because right now it's one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good enough.
It's not working.
Nope.
So what do you think is the most burning research question for eating disorders?
I think we have failed. I do a lot of work with families. I do a lot of work with people with lived experience. And I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I have not done them justice yet. Because I still don't know what causes anorexia completely. And I still don't know how to treat it completely. And I feel the same way for the other eating disorders. So I think as a field, we need to stop beating the same drum. There is so much stuff being done that's irrelevant, that isn't really moving the field forward, that isn't really answering the burning questions. We've got to really push the boundaries, do new stuff, bring people in from other fields who could look at us and say, try this or try that, or this worked for my disorder, maybe it'll work for eating disorders. We've got to stop being so insular and stop being so competitive amongst ourselves.
Yeah, there's no time to waste.
Yes.
And what are your hopes for the Australian Eating Disorder Research and Translation Centre?
Yes, so there is such an opportunity here. This is such a cool, amazing opportunity for a country to come together and say, all right, what do we have to do to just totally change the game plan? And by bringing in external people and using just the rich internal resources, you've got great people in Australia doing work in this field. But we all need to be nudged forward. And this is the opportunity to figure out how Australia is going to do it differently. How is Australia going to become a leader discovering whatever the next phase of eating disorders is and figuring out what causes and how best to treat everybody, not just a subset of people with eating disorders.
And finally, a little bit more personal, what drew you to the field of eating disorders?
This is a good story. So I actually started out in childhood depression. Uh-huh. And the man who I was working with was asked to write a chapter comparing sleep EEG, so what your brain waves are doing during sleep, and depression and anorexia. And I was like, he didn't have time. He was like, Cindy, can you please write this chapter for me? I was like, I don't know anything about this, right? So I decided I was going to shadow the psychiatrist where we were working on the eating disorders unit. Mm-hmm. And I went up to that unit and I shadowed him for like a week or maybe 2 weeks. And I was like, wow. And I realized, I was a figure skater. And I realized at that moment how many people in my sort of like figure skating peer group had eating disorders, but
right.
It was never labeled. And I was like, oh my God. It was like my sports world and my academic world merged.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a decision there and I have never looked back.
Wow. Completely changed the direction of your whole
totally
life.
Totally changed the direction of my life. Yep.
Wow. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just an important message of hope. I think it is so amazing to see all these people coming together and saying, we need to do better, we need to do more, and we need to do it differently. So all those people out there who have eating disorders or people who are carers for someone with eating disorders, please know that there are a lot of people who are really on your side and are really working hard to make life better for you and maybe to keep fewer people from developing eating disorders in the future.
To find out more about Cindy's work and the study that she was referring to, please check the show notes. You'll also find there a link to find out more about the Australian Eating Disorders Research and Translation Centre and about Inside Out Institute for Eating Disorders. Catch you next time.
If you or a loved one needs support, please head to our website or call the National Eating Disorders Helpline at Butterfly on 1-800-ED-HOPE or 1-800-33-4673.